Hey everybody, it's the Stunt Granny audio something or other. I'm Jeremy. Kevin's with me, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Hopefully, we'll get into some wrestling talk too. So, good evening, Mr. DeFrango.
Yeah, why the fuck would we talk about wrestling? Like, we only took a week off, and there was very little news in the meantime, evidently.
totally no news to talk about, really. So, trust me, before we even started this, I was like, what the hell are we going to talk about? So, oh boy, we're in trouble. So, but, I mean, I guess we have some stuff to talk about. I mean, non-wrestling related. The reason, you know, I wanted to start was, you were out, last week, Kevin was actually on vacation, away from a computer for the most part. You were at the Great American Beer Fest, right?
Yes, I was.
That was called. All right. So,
quite tasty.
All right. So you got to explain this, which is why I didn't really ask you too much when we were going back and forth at work. What is this thing, and how does this thing work? From what you were telling me, it sounded kind of cool. So.
Yeah. No, it's in the Denver Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
There. And there's a ginormous floor there, obviously. And there are 1,800 vendors or something in that area. And they've all brought at least two types of beers. And you pay $55 to get in. And you get this little 4 to 6 ounce glass, but they only fill you. There's a marker on there for a 1 ounce. So they pour you 1 ounce of beer at every station that you go to.
Okay.
Well, not even every station. If they have five beers, you just tell them which beer you want, and they'll pour it for you. There's no limit. Like, you can drink as many of that type as you really want to, but I don't think that was kind of, you know, the point of that whole thing.
Okay. See, that's exactly what I was thinking. I think that shows the difference between you and me. I'm like, wait a minute, so you can just get fucking rocked at this place on free beer for the most part? So if you go to the Sanzo, you get when you go to the Sanzo, you said they have five beers. You can try all five, right?
Like I said, you could keep on drinking the same one if you really felt like it, but that would seem a little crazy with 1,800 vendors there and 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you have 4 hours to kill on top of that. Like, I guess you can't drink the same Miller Lite or something for 4 straight hours, but it seems kind of silly when they're all. They don't cost anything, you know. I mean, you.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, if you went to a beer fest and you drank Miller Lite, you deserve to get punched in the balls, because that is ridiculous.
Like, I don't think they had anything quite that well-known. Well, I shouldn't say well-known, because, Sam Adams was there. And, even some of the bigger, some of the larger microbreweries, they have stuff there that they don't necessarily sell on a regular basis.
Oh, okay. All right.
There was one from Great Lakes, or there were two from Great Lakes that I had never seen before. For those familiar, they're a brewery up in Cleveland that I prefer quite a bit.
Yeah. At least has a book of beers from around the world or something. And I had no idea Sierra Nevada has five different types. And just an example wise, I guess. But. I don't know.
Yeah.
My awful observation. So I'm adding nothing to this so far.
Well, and you know, the other thing that a lot of people did is that everybody wears in a... There is food available there, because we went from 5:30 to 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
There's food available there, but everybody makes pretzel necklaces. They use a string or twine or something, and you just loop through pretzels. Depending upon what type you want, I saw people there with gigantic sourdoughs. We just use little mini pretzels. There are people with regular size ones. It was kind of crazy. There's one person that even decided to go with a Slim Jim tie.
I mean, was it in a wrapper or?
I didn't see it. Brian, I did not ask Brian if it was in a wrapper. I guess I assumed that it was. Maybe it wasn't.
Can you imagine how gross that would be? Walking around, you start sweating from all the beer and probably the temperature in there. And you go and take a bite out of your slimy Slim Jim that's hanging around your neck. Oh, God. So,
that was probably the most amusing thing about that. Because Becky, my brother's wife, took pictures of Brian and I every half an hour.
Did she put those up, by the way?
No, she hasn't posted them yet.
Oh, okay.
But that was kind of funny because in some of the pictures, you can't even tell the drunk level, really. But you see the pretzel necklaces slowly getting smaller as the photos get taken.
Yeah. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, no, it was a great time, and it needs to be a stunt granny trip at some juncture of our lives. Because, I mean, like, Becky's one, well, I guess he was a team leader, but, I mean, guys in his, he has a couple of teenage daughters, and he went during the Saturday day session. And that was the only bad thing, is that the Saturday night session was the last one, so when they ran out of beer, they ran out of beer that time.
Okay.
So there were a couple of times where, you know, they just ran out of beer and there was nothing you could do about it. I mean, I had a shit ton of beer at that point, so I wasn't exactly arguing, you know. After 3.5 hours of drinking, it's kind of like, well, whatever, I'll have another one. Because you truly don't remember, you kind of remember the good beers, but you really remember the ones that are shitty or really strange.
All right, so what were the... All right, so just some examples of that, then. You gave me some, like the pepper smoked oak or something.
There was a bourbon beer, which I tried, a Kentucky bourbon beer. That's the other thing, is that they have all their... they have, like, you know, a bunch of aisles, but they have them all labeled by type. Type, region. There's, like, Atlantic, Southeast...
Oh.
You know, Midwest, you know, they have a couple Pacific, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Down the southern one, they had there's the Kentucky bourbon, and it tasted exactly like bourbon, but it was beer. You know, there's like maybe a little hint of beer in there. I don't mind bourbon, but... I don't think it tastes as good as, you know, Jack or something like that.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
So, there was a chili beer. There were two different chili beers, because there's a green chili beer that I didn't get to try. My friend, I don't know if you remember Ryan Lawyer, but he lives up there, and he was a volunteer there earlier in the week on Thursday and Friday. So he wanted me to try this green chili, but they had run out. And that wasn't late either. Like, headed for that, like, almost right away, like around 5:36.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So,
something like that similar here, bud.
Yeah, well, that's it. Ken and Jackie went to this thing. There was a beer festival / comedy event is down in Cincinnati there, and it was called a Brouhaha. And I'm just like, but I don't think they didn't have nearly the amount of beers that they did there. And the worst one of them all is this stuff. I don't even know how to describe the taste. It was called Red Poppy. I don't even know what the name of the company is either. If I see a beer called Red Poppy, I'm not even getting anywhere close to it. It was horrendous. I think it was the only beer that I threw out. Because they have little buckets there that you can rinse your cup out with water and then dump it in there. Or you can just dump out the stuff that you don't like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And even if I dislike something, I usually try to. I mean, it's a fucking ounce of beer. Like, you know, you're not drinking that much. So
yeah,
whatever.
I do that with wine tasting.
I got it. I'm going to finish it.
I don't know. What was the one you were talking about? It was like pepper beer? Is that red poppy one you were talking about?
Did I say the chili beer?
No, that's the one. Yeah, that one sounds like a nightmare, actually.
You know, it wasn't too hot. It just had a little bit of heat on the back end. But it kind of tasted like a fairly standard beer, outside of the fact that it was a little spicy.
Those were
the bigger ones.
Yeah. Well, there's something similar to that in Greenville. Like, yours, you said, started at 5:30, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one here in Greenville started at 2 in the afternoon.
Oh,
maybe it's because
I'm
getting older. But, I mean, I don't want to go to one of these things, get bleary-eyed, and then get kicked out at 6 in the afternoon and be like, what? And now what am I supposed to do? Go home and pass out? I'm not 70. I'm not going to bed at 8 o'clock at night. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there were a lot. I mean, all the sessions sold out there. And, yeah, that was about the time. Because I think the other one started at noon.
Hmm.
Because there's like an hour and a half gap in between them for them to clean up and whatnot.
Yeah, well, ours only got one, but the idea that we even had one was kind of amazing, so. All right, well, yeah, so that's what Kevin's been busy up to. He has the interesting life right now. But anyways, I guess we should talk about some sort of wrestling, even though there's really nothing going on. Yeah,
there are television shows that we seem to neglect every now and again. I suppose we should talk about.
All right. Well, I know we talked about a couple things, but I guess to warm up, let's start negative. We always seem to do better when we start negative. I was discussing this with Eric, and TNA is running, and we're recording this Thursday night, okay? So, by the time we're recording this, the shows are actually probably going on. TNA on Thursday night is running two separate house shows. One in New York City, a big television market. One in Oklahoma City, where regardless of what they want to convince you in the NBA, is not a big television market. They're running two house shows, split crews, kind of like WWE does with SmackDown and Raw. And they're running it on a Thursday night, opposing Impact. So they're taking away their audience. I mean, granted, it's only going to be, what, a total of 4,000 people, maybe, if they get 2,000 or so.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when they came here, they did not expect to use a large venue. Yeah. It's, just another stupid move by a stupid company. They really cannot convince me otherwise at this point. Like, yeah. I tried to give them the benefit of the doubt there for a little bit again, but they've just gone on just to do a whole bunch of other bad, bad decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is they're doing one in the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is in New York, as everyone knows. That's where ECW ran some shows, so that's why they're going back there, because supposedly this is where Tommy Dreamer and some of the other ECW guys are, and I'm saying because I'm trying to bring the card up. Okay. For the Hammerstein Ballroom show, this is what they get. Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson, Abyss versus Tommy Dreamer with Mick Foley as referee, so that's the ECW flavor. Team 3D, who apparently isn't under contract with TNA, versus Inc. in a tables match. Angelina Love versus Tara for the Knockouts Championship. Jay Lethal versus Amazing Red, who I didn't know was even with the company anymore. Also advertised are Rhino and D'Angelo De Niro. All right. The Fine Bumpkins in Oklahoma. Yeah. Hang on. The Bumpkins in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, get Ric Flair versus Kurt Angle, a match I don't think I've ever seen. AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. The Machine Guns versus Beer Money, Velvet Sky versus Madison Rain, and then also advertised Jeff Jarrett, Doug Williams, Matt Morgan, Brian Kendrick, Kazarian, Eric Young.
Wow. They just completely shit on Oklahoma City.
Seriously? You think so?
Yeah.
They're getting Ric Flair versus Kurt Angle and AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, Machine Guns versus Beer Money. And tell me a match on the other in New York that even measures up to any of these. And I know it's Ric Flair nowadays, but that's still Kurt Angle versus Ric Flair.
Yeah. Neither of them. They're not as good as they used to be.
Kurt Angle still pulls out good matches. I mean, regardless of, you know, how much we goof on him in his personal shit. The man still
right.
pulls out good matches, though.
Yeah.
So he's got to be able to pull one out of the greatest worker ever, if you want to, you know, put it in those terms.
I suppose. I don't know. I guess I just do not have a whole lot of faith in that matchup. And
yeah.
Who else? Well, Anderson. I'd rather see Anderson versus Hardy than see that match, I guess.
But we've seen it. We've seen it how many times on TV already, though?
That would suppose that I've watched
Impact
the last couple
right.
weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, going back over the
no,
month, there's got to be at least four instances. And plus, they're going to be in the main event of, what is it, Bound for Glory? 10-10-10, whatever the hell that this keeps spewing about.
Oh.
It just seems to me that if you're going to your major market, and I understand you're supposed to be trying to get an ECW flavor going, okay, which there's only three guys. Or three, like, acts, if you want to put it that way, on the card. Wouldn't you, in a major market like New York, want to have Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, regardless of what we think about them? Wouldn't you rather have those guys on the advertising, you know, get their faces all over New York City, Manhattan, you know?
Their problem is that they physically have enough bodies to do a split show, but they don't have enough names to do a split show.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to argue that part. And even if Powell thinks they do, they've got the talent, but not the recognition. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one. But it just seems to me that if you're going to go... If you're going to pull viewers away from your TV show, put a show on in New York, I think they are the biggest television market in the world, aren't they? I mean, easily the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess China, but when fuck them. What are they watching? People trying to dodge raccoons while their head's in a box? I mean, who cares?
Nah, that's Japan.
Whatever. But, or reruns of Beverly Hillbillies that seem new to them. It just seems to me that you'd want to put all your guns, I mean, just put all your big guns on the show to get that going. And it just, to me, if you're going to screw up your TV viewing, make it worth it. I don't know. It almost makes me dumbfounded.
Yeah, well, no, it does. Like, I mean, the WWE doesn't run shows the same day as events, and if they do, it's earlier in the day.
Yeah, well, remember, they used to run SmackDown house shows on Mondays, and they stopped doing that now. And they used to run Raws on Tuesdays for some reason.
But
they got away from that.
Yeah,
that was a couple years ago. But, no, it just... It's such a, I mean, I don't know, I can't see, like, Tommy Dreamer had a huge blog about it, and TNA's clearly trying to capitalize on the ECW thing. They're going to the Hammerstein, they're going to the ECW arena, which I thought got torn down, or was in the process of getting torn down, so apparently something, I missed something there. And then they're going to New Jersey on Saturday. Okay. So...
Yeah, I don't know why. Just wait the extra day and don't do it on. Just don't do it on Thursday. It's not that tough.
If you're gonna do it,
TV.
Yeah. If you're gonna do it Thursday, give them a card with Jay Lethal versus Amazing Red and Rhino versus Orlando Jordan, and then give them one act. Like, put the Machine Guns and Beer Money on and be done with it. You don't pull all your major stars.
Oh, yeah, and if you're pulling out the they've been on TV too much, how many fucking times have the Guns, they had five fucking matches, whatever the hell it was, recently.
You got
and
it.
They, so, and that's the in Oklahoma City, isn't it? So, I mean, that's not any better
yeah.
than Anderson and Hardy. And
no,
on
you're
top
exactly right.
of that, I just, they give a shit about the tag team division almost marginally more than the WWE does. I don't care if they
it's
say
the
they
best
have the
tag best team division in the world, Kevin.
Yeah,
you apparently
have
them watching Impact.
Yeah,
I mean,
clearly.
Generation Me's a heel. Why? Because they want those gold. They want those gold. Jesus. They want the gold, yo. That's why.
Oh, my God. Did I miss the promo by Generation Me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah,
well, just another team that they buried for God knows how long, and then all of a sudden the Guns win the belt after having 92 matches with Beer Money over the course of 2 months.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden, oh, look, Generation Me, they're back alive, and evidently they're in contention. I mean, that's a WWE move if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, well, you know how that works. But then also, Generation Me, remember when they first came out and beat the Guns in their very first match?
Oh, yeah,
and then
that's
we're
true.
Off TV 2 weeks later. So, but if you're going to do TNA house show business, the promotion. Remember, I mean, I don't know if you remember years ago, they came to Greenville for a pay-per-view, and they advertised it with little door hanger things. So imagine you come home and you've got a door hanger with Tommy Dreamer, Abyss, Mick Foley, Team 3D, just one of those sort of things. When you're in New York City and you're like, who the fuck are these homeless guys? Who wants this shit to be shown? I'm not going to go pay money to go see this. On a Thursday, I'm going to go to work, supposedly, the next day. Which is means TNA fans have jobs, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. There was some other point I was going to bring up about the whole TNA thing, but I'm totally missing it now.
Yeah.
So, okay. Since we're kind of on it, we'll get to NXT after this. So get ready, everybody.
What?
I showed you a video of Samoa Joe that Jeff Jarrett took.
Oh,
backstage.
Yeah.
He looked to be getting into actual shape again. Or at least slimming down to get into, like, Husky Harris was still sloppy, okay? He could stand to get a Joe, like, a better Joe physique, if you want to put it that way. But you could actually see definition in Joe's arms again, you know, instead of just the flab and, like, three rolls going on.
He had definition at some point?
A long time ago, he was skinny. He was actually in a match on Sunday Night Heat. I can't remember who he fought, but he wasn't the big glob that he is. He wasn't a big guy like he is. And he wasn't huge, don't get me wrong. He wasn't like cut to shreds or anything, but
right.
He looked a lot better. He didn't look marketable, but he looked better, you know, to put it in those terms. So,
gotcha. Okay, no,
yeah.
I don't remember that matchup, and outlined by skin.
And for anybody who wondered what just happened, Kevin turned to watch the Pitt game, and Pitt just intercepted the ball. So, and
oh,
I'm not even in the house with him. So
that wasn't what happened there. You told me about the interception before I saw it.
Oh, goddamn! What kind of delay do they have up there in Ohio? Jesus.
Evidently, a fairly long one, and
that
yeah,
was a
as horrible if it's
pass.
Shocking with. Ja'Cory Harris throwing a fucking interception.
Well, it's only shocking because it wasn't in the 20. It wasn't in the red zone. So, the tub of shit. Ugh. Oh well. But,
yeah, no.
So,
trust me, I saw him. He evidently thought that Miami was in scarlet and gray when they were here in Columbus. So.
Yeah. Well, not a surprise. But
nope.
Yeah, so we just wanted to mention. you know, we've ragged on Smojo a lot for his looks. He actually does seem to be getting into better shape. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it means he is healthy and that he's going to get the old Joe push when, you know, you actually wanted to see him on TV and not just going, oh, man, they're putting Joe on TV in that state. You know.
Yeah. All right. No, that's what I said. I hope that, you know, if he finally got his shit together after blowing up at whoever the fuck he blew up at, and, you know, that caused the second suspension after he came back, you know, I think if he finally said, hey, I should actually hit a gym, or, you know, or actually work out and not just eat ho-hos with Matt Hardy, then, you know, maybe things will turn out a little bit better for him.
Yeah. Well, we're not... Did you watch that new video of Matt Hardy's, by the way?
Yeah, I did, of course.
I haven't watched it yet. I just sent it to you guys and then left. So I have to watch it.
That's too bad, because I was damned amused. Because there was just one statement where he just completely reversed course, and I'm just like, what? Dude?
Well.
Fucking A.
Okay, I will say this. I've got it on now, so I don't even hear it in the background or not, but... Him running the ropes in a Dirty South sweatshirt, you know, the Dirty South thing, like Little John from 5-6 years ago. The best part is... I was doing a laugh about this at work, too. He's doing jumping jacks. First, who the fuck does jumping jacks anymore? But in second, if you're doing jumping jacks, don't put a hoodie on, because you can't see your face. So you hear this warble of some fatso just blah, 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 underneath the hood who's just doing jumping jacks. You're like, why am I watching homeless guy videos? And I understand that's the second homeless joke. But, oh, my God. I'm even starting to get bored with these things. But, I mean, I'm still going to watch it. Don't get me wrong. So,
I don't feel like damn well better. That was 9 minutes of my life that I'm not getting back.
Well, that's why I'm thinking of the Harry Potter trailer. You know?
Oh, and fuck, I didn't watch that.
Oh my God, dude. That thing is amazing.
Yeah, well, I haven't watched like the last 3 movies or something like that.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
Well, you read the books though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be any problem to just go to the movie in and of itself, really. Because, yeah,
right.
Exactly. I read the book, so I'm familiar with what the fuck's going on.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, well, let's get into NXT, since we've actually got a decent amount of momentum going for a change. How do you even want to start this discussion, though? Where do you start?
I will say that it is the second most intriguing thing that the WWE has done in the last 5 years. The Nexus thing has died out, but that was extremely intriguing at first, so I would rank that above. But the shit that they're letting happen.
Hey, your phone broke up. What is that?
They're letting happen on NXT this season is hysterical in every way. I can't believe Josh Matthews and Michael Cole just nailing each other left and right is hysterical.
Yeah.
It's just completely bagging on each other. That's killing me. The whole just admitting that it is a horrendous show in and of itself is a positive as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And then, of all bizarre things, I have watched more of it because I watched.
Hey, your phone is sucking a major dick right now.
I've heard everything you said. I don't know why you can't hear me, motherfucker.
I don't know. But that's what it keeps doing. Like, what do you got? You got Verizon, right?
Yep.
Fucking Verizon. So do I. So, I don't know.
Anywho.
But,
Like, the contest especially the athletic ones,
mm-hmm.
I'm far more interested in watching a bunch of scantily or fairly scantily clad women doing them than I am any males in tights doing them.
Oh, of course. I mean, that goes all the way back to the man show days. So you want to watch that stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got to admit, like, I've actually probably watched more of this season already than, because anytime I'd see an obstacle course or something like that, I just hit fast forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any of the physical stuff, it's like, oh, who gives a shit? And, well, I do now. You know, so I don't know. I guess it's kind of given me actual incentive to kind of watch it. And then, do we really want to do the crown jewel at this point already, too? Have I babbled enough, or do you want to pick up on one of those points?
Well, what I was going to say is you said it's like different incentive to watch. And, I mean, I'll try to be serious for like a brief moment. They've got three girls on the show they can use. That actually have some sort of, like, ratings draw. I'm not going to say money draw, because, come on, we all know how it works. That AJ girl, the little mousy girl, the real cute one with the energy.
Yeah.
That's AJ, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got Caitlin, who I think will work fine. I think that girl could play it either way with some training, obviously. But she could play it to where she's, like, the really bitchy woman, like the bitchy heel, or she could be like a really cute baby face. And then the other one's Naomi, only because they have Alicia Fox and Gail Kim, and that's about the extent of any sort of, you know, diversity or minority, if you just want to go with it, go with that.
Yep.
And she's athletic enough to do it. Now,
for sure.
Your girl, Jamie? Yeah, no. Yes. And that's actually provided me with some of the funniest stuff is when she starts talking and Colin Matthews both go, oh, God. As soon as she starts talking. I mean, I'm not even commenting on her actual, you know, ability, but the comedic opportunity she now provides is genius. It's just great. And I have to figure someone backstage is telling her to do that. And I guess that goes into something else later. But so I actually enjoy trying to see if these girls, I mean, it's almost to me this whole show has turned into a public hazing opportunity.
Yeah.
They're just ridiculing these women in the most public of fashion, and none of this is actually going to lead anywhere. Because I mean, you could see with the last season of NXT, you know, those guys haven't shown up yet, but you can look and go, okay, they'll be around sooner or later. I mean, hell, they're already using Alex Riley.
Right.
But you look at this and you're like, oh God, this is just filler.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is going to speak to the crown jewel portion, but having CM Punk come out to do commentary was just a stroke of genius that someone backstage went, you know, Punk, go ahead and do this. I mean, no one gives a shit about this show. No one back here cares. Because you can clearly see there's no pride. No one is taking pride in this show. And that's where it is.
Exactly. Yeah, no, CM Punk really is. Like, he really, like, as much as I've kind of enjoyed Cole and Matthews jousting with each other, it is even funnier to have Punk there. Punk and Matthews were hysterical together, and then just having Punk kind of team up on poor Josh Matthews is hysterical.
The one thing I really liked when it was just Matthews and Punk, Matthews would try and feed Punk a line, and Punk wouldn't react at all. it would be that awful, uncomfortable silence. And you're like, is anyone going to say anything? Remember when Adam Lee was on ECW, Colin Matthews? There would
yeah.
be long, and even Joey Styles, actually, there would be long pauses of silence from both announcers. And you're like, are the announcers still at the table? I mean, what's going on here? But this week, they even went to, like, the announced position. And Matthews is talking, and he's talking and talking. And Punk is staring straight into the camera. Just lifeless. And I'm like, this is really weird. And then you just start laughing.
No, there really was not much that I did not laugh at this week. Because, yeah, not only did they, I mean, they bagged on themselves, or they bagged on each other, and then they were just, like you said, it was a public hazing. They were just killing the contestants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I even liked, what was it, Punk was, when they had Laycool in there with, whoever.
Was he even making fun of Laycool?
He made fun of Layla a little bit. And he goes, the first thing I do is rip that flower right out of her hair. And Layla ripped the flower out of her hair and put it back and put it in hers. And Punk's like, yeah, there you go. Like, really surprised she did it. And then he was just calling out everything. And when he, the one girl, they were doing the promo. And the one girl wouldn't talk about what she wanted to. And then the other one just didn't. And they disqualified her. And Punk goes, well, Janice should be disqualified too. Which was great, because he purposely called her the wrong name. And Thor just honestly didn't know. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, and I just, and Stryker's like, I just received word that you've been disqualified as well. It was great. It was almost like a voice for all the smartasses out there like us, who are watching the show going, this is horrible. It's like, we finally have a voice, if you want to put it that way. Whether it be through CM Punk or Michael Cole, one of the two.
What'd you say? Yeah, no, sorry. I was trying to get my shit straight here with my TV, and I blanked for a second.
I love the,
like,
I love the dead silence. I'm like, what,
like,
the fuck, dude? Where'd you go?
I was like, oh, whatever. He's going to keep on going for a while. I can set my DVR here.
Oops. Oh, you know Community started tonight, right? So did 30 Rock.
Yeah, no, I'm realizing that I can stay at home here and watch the rest of this game rather than going out by just canceling off the office here.
I canceled that a while ago. So, but, what were we talking about? Oh, I was saying, are you paying attention to this?
Yeah.
It's funny when someone other than me does that, I was just saying, it's like with the smartasses like us finally have a voice in CM Punk or Michael Cole. To where it's like, this show is shit. I don't know why I'm watching it, but I'm watching it still. And
It is the train wreck aspect of it that is just me. Because they have been, and I think we've bitched about this enough, really, with the NXT concept, is that they didn't, You know, with Survivor or anything like that, any reality TV show where you get booted, there's, you know the, when you're watching the show, you know what the rules are.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, whatever, someone's planned for immunity in this one too. But, like, they didn't ever have things really well defined, and even in this one they don't have it well defined as to what exactly is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's been a bad concept the whole time along. And just putting on the women who are obviously not nearly as well-trained. Oh, yeah, that's right. Who was bagging on the – oh, no, it's Laycool were bagging on the Bella Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like the pot – which is like two charismaless hacks,
at least
bagging on two people that have charisma even if they don't fucking know how to do anything.
Yeah. That's why I was like, this show is the weirdest show they're putting on, because I understand it's two heels calling out faces, but they're just using lines that have nothing to do, like, storyline-wise. They're just, like, mean-spirited and just total dickish, or bitches, if you want to. Bitches? Is that a word? Whatever. Or bitchy.
Yeah.
Depending on who says it. I mean, there's nothing in the context of a storyline on this show. It's Michael Cole roots for Vicky Guerrero. He doesn't like any of the pros. He doesn't cheer for any of the pros. I mean, even when he walked off 2 weeks ago, he purposely stopped to clap for Vicky Guerrero, which she liked.
No, she was waving goodbye to him last week.
Yeah. Yes, but then if you watch, he points at her, starts clapping, goes, "That's for you." And she totally does a 180 and goes, "Oh!" And then starts cheering for him as he walks off.
I must have missed that second part.
It was great on her part. I mean, I'm sorry. She's come a long way, too. She's a lot of fun to watch. So...
Yeah.
But I mean, they're trying to do something with Goldust and Oksana. Kelly talked this week. That was the most I think she's ever spoken. I have no idea she sounded like that. If you really go back and listen, very rare do you ever hear her talking.
Yeah, and when she does talk, it's like one or two lines. Like, she barely gets anything in. Like, was she kind of sort of dating John Cena at some point? Or were they just around each other for a couple of, like, 3-4 weeks in a row or something crazy like that?
Yeah, I mean, that was just one of those. No, she was with, that was Maria with Ziggler.
Right.
I mean, that was the whole Mike Knox thing and then CM Punk thing a long time ago, but... I really don't know. I've never been that into her anyway, so I didn't really pay attention to her. But no, it's just like this show is anything goes. It's train wreck TV.
Just you. I mean, you said it.
And I want to say it's almost a success, but they're losing ratings like crazy.
How are they?
All right. So going back 5 or 6 weeks. The NXT did a 0.96. Then the week before the season 2 finale was a 1.13. Then season 2's finale was a 1.23. So you're like, all right, you're expecting season 1 to carry that. Well, season 3's premiere only had a 1 point. The next week was followed by a 0.9. And then this week's was a 0.87, which is a million viewers, a million point. Million viewer, or what is it? 1,050,000 people, roughly. Which doesn't make any sense. Why isn't 1 point just a million? Why do they have to make this damn thing difficult? But
because people are stupid.
So it's, and it's like, are people catching on that the show isn't? I mean, as much as we're saying how great it is or how good it is because of all the negative points of it, but to the regular fan. They're not going to enjoy this at all. I mean, there's no matches.
And it's hard. Like, they're bringing in... It would be almost as bad if they had a whole, like, tag team one, too. You know, they have de-emphasized the Divas so much since they've gone PG how can you... you can't even try to give a shit if you're a fan. Like... they don't get matches, pretty much. And even the people that know how to wrestle, like, I always admit that I think Michelle McCool knows how to wrestle fairly well. But, like, even she doesn't get a match. You know? Like, what was their match with Melina? Was it 4 minutes long or something stupid like that at the pay-per-view?
I think 6 or 7, something like that. It went longer than you'd think, that's for sure. So,
okay.
But those two have had decent matches before, which is kind of a surprise that they'd let it... No, the CM Punk match was the 4-minute one. That was a really short one, because you can't do anything on a big show, but that's a different conversation. So.
Well, yeah, especially when you're one of the smaller superstars.
Yeah. But, no, it...
Yeah,
I just find
an inherent problem really from the beginning, just doing divas. Like, I like it, but they should do it, but you know, you've conditioned us for the last, like, how long have they been PG at this point? How many years?
The real full swing's been about a year. The full fledged PG's been about a year, I'd say.
No.
Even if they're, you know, they've gotten to more of the kiddie stuff, the more plain, boring storytelling. I think the biggest problem with this season is it's women, and just like you said, the divas or the women on the show now, if they take away the sex part, their divas don't mean anything. Because even when they had a good women's division and they featured it, it was still all built around sex appeal and just sex, period. They've totally taken that away, and they don't know what to do with these broads anymore. Just now, they don't have a clue, because you don't have the professional in the bunch. Like, Trish Stratus was there, and say what you want about her, but Lita was there too. You know, the easily identifiable, like, top of the top. I mean, right now it's Michelle McCool, and you're like, who cares about her?
Yeah. No, her and Layla do just a bad act at best.
Yeah, it really does seem like cable access or public access kind of act they've got going. I've never believed it. It's always just come off as amateur, but apparently someone likes it, so whatever. But no, the inherent flaw was when they took sex out of the equation with the women. And then they tried putting on a show that didn't feature, there wasn't even like the internet sensation, if you want to put it that way. They didn't bring in Cheerleader Melissa or Sarah Del Rey or Awesome Kong. There are so many good wrestlers. I remember talking, we told the story. When we talked to Cheerleader Melissa, and I even said, I mean, I told her, I was like, I didn't agree with TNA putting her under a Shroud or whatever the hell she was under when she was Risha Saeed. I go, I don't understand why they're doing that. She's like, well, you know, with WWE, though, I don't fit a look for them. And that's just disappointing. Because she's adorable. When we met her, it's like, wow, that she is just cute as can be. And I think that's the big problem. There is money in women's wrestling. TNA kind of proved that when Gail Kim and Awesome Kong, they had the big ratings, and you put Angelina Love in. They were the highest rated segments all the time. So there is money there, somehow. I mean, it's not going to be Hogan or Savage or Steve Austin or Ric Flair money.
Right.
So, yeah. So as soon as they showed the contestants, and there wasn't that, like, oh, yes, that sort of thing, the show was doomed. So they may as well make it a train wreck. So... It's just sad, because I used to be really big into the women's wrestling, and it's impossible to find anything good now.
Yeah, no. Either program, TNA, that's another one that TNA is just completely fucked in the ass.
Yeah. Well, I understand Shimmer's out there, so just, you know, on a national level on TV, women's wrestling is impossible to find. And Wrestlelicious, that bullshit doesn't count either. Now, TNA's fucked that up so bad. And, I guess since we're on women's wrestling, we should talk about it. You posted yesterday, Mickie James had signed with TNA. I want to be happy about that. I mean, I'm happy she's going to be on TV again, don't get me wrong. And back in a more adult environment, you know.
Yeah.
But
Lack of talent
in TNA.
they're just not writing well right now. So, I mean, it's not going to do any good. You know what I mean?
Well, Dutch Mantel's not with them anymore. So.
Huh?
Well, Dutch Mantel used to do with the women's division.
Oh.
He's not there anymore. Well, go figure.
Yeah.
Look what happened. If you look at the wrestlers, though, Madison Rayne is serviceable. they bounce her around too much. I mean, to take her seriously. It's going to take a long time for her to be taken seriously. You got Angelina Love. That's, you know, enough said. You got Victoria, or the hell's her name now? You got Sarah. Taylor Wilde. She's good, too. Hamada, who they've just shit on since she got there.
What's her name?
Sarah Stock.
Yeah.
Or, what the hell's her name? Sarita now.
Yeah.
Nothing. So there are plenty of components there. And to insert Mickey James into, or whatever she's going to be called now, to insert Mickey James into it, probably Alexis Lurie, isn't a bad thing on paper. It's you know, what they write on paper, that's going to be the bad thing. And what they put on their TV show will definitely be the bad thing.
Yeah, and they'll probably do what they did right away with Tara, too. You know, they shot her to the top right away. Like, they gave her a title match, like, almost right, you know, as soon as she came in. It's like, what kind of fun is that? Like, have her go through the beautiful people or, you know, have her beat a couple of people before she gets that title shot. Like, I don't understand why people insist on just, especially in the women's division, it seems the worst. That and the tag team, which we've already noted. Just, you know, new people just show up and they just start fighting for belts right away. It's like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care if they beat two jobbers. Bring in two jobbers. You know,
it wasn't
like
the story with
Tyra
Mahogany in WWE, too. She hadn't won a championship in how long? So then, you know. Important at all. I mean, you know, I love Victoria. But she wasn't anything in WWE when she left. So it made no sense to all of a sudden have her jump and be like, oh, and everyone bows down to her. But that's what TNA does with every WWE wrestler. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they suck at the teeth of a released WWE wrestler just right off the bat. So, in this case, though, I don't know what Mickey James can do. She has to go right to the top, doesn't she? I mean, she can't. They've done such a poor job of labeling or representing the Knockouts division now. That who does she beat that means anything? And I know we mentioned some names, but beating Taylor Wilde or Hamada or Sarita doesn't matter.
Tara would be the only one because Love still has the belt, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Honestly, the beating Tara would be the only one that would mean any sort of something.
Yeah. Madison Rain is not taken seriously. And I think that's the hardest part about this whole bodyguard thing and, you know, fighting beautiful people. They treated her like garbage. It'd be like Lacey Von Erich all of a sudden becoming a prominent player. It's like, that bitch can't do anything right. I mean, there's nothing built there for her. So, but, all right. Whew. Wow, that was a long conversation on NXT and then nice natural transition into TNA. Hey, we're getting pretty good at this stuff.
Not Woohoo!
Let's see. For anybody, before we leave women's wrestling totally, for anybody who has a Twitter account or follows us, go to Beth Phoenix's account. That's all. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, she is looking good in that photo.
Yeah, good an understatement. I saw that and I was like, "What's this?" And I went to look. I'm like, "What?" So, yeah, if it was Beth Phoenix going to TNA, I think I'd be way happier. But it won't happen. So, at least not yet. But all right, now. We've neglected Raw the last couple shows, didn't we? Or we talked about only a little bit last week.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. No, we did a show last week, didn't we?
Oh, didn't we do that show right before I left?
Yeah.
I guess that was Tuesday before I left there. Okay, never mind.
Okay. right. Well,
yeah, I don't, it's well, it'd be kind of tough to try and summarize that, especially with all the. I mean, unless you want to pick one thing in particular.
Well, I was going to talk about the Randy Orton title win, and just the fact that he's supposed to be your top babyface now. I mean, you know, they've positioned him as a top babyface and really put John Cena on the back burner, which is fine. Shouldn't he have gotten, and people have been clamoring for it, the crowd has at least, shouldn't he have had a clean, decisive title win instead of winning it in a six-pack challenge or whatever goofy gimmick match they did? Doesn't that kind of hurt his current, like, title reign?
A little bit, but I suppose they think that they can cement it at Hell in a Cell. And what is that, 2 weeks away? I thought I read today.
Yeah. Yeah. They have 3 pay-per-views in 5 weeks. Not a smart idea for them.
Wow, and they even have less pay-per-views this year than they did last year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. This is a really bad.
Yeah. Well, Night of Champions sounded like a solid card. I kind of wish I would have watched it now. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like it didn't seem like the proper way for Randy Orton to finally get back on top and in a like forward momentum sort of way. Instead of his other title reigns where he won and you're like, huh? Oh, he's still champ, huh? Okay. I mean, even going back to Orlando when we were there, and they had that triple threat with him, Cena, and Triple H. And, you know, none of us were Orton fans, but when he won, me especially, getting up and just taunting everybody around us because he won, because he in no way should have won that thing.
We had a good time with that one. But the problem is, and I don't know what proof there is, but it just seems like all these main events, because I think Powell pointed it out, like all the main events recently seem to be these multi-person things. And it's just like, oh, are you ever going to get away from a match with like less than 3 people?
Yeah.
I guess that's another reason why it's kind of hard to like fault them, I guess. It just seems like they are sticking a lot of people in these matches, period, end of sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really, it, I don't know,
I
ECW
mean, I
used to do that,
but
I just, I don't know, I always, and we've talked about this before, I've talked to Eric and Dusty too, if you're going to have a defining championship victory, it's got to be one-on-one, and if it's a face, it's got to be clean. If it's a heel, it almost always has to be because of cheating to get the heat on you, especially for the win, but then to have people just, you know, enraged that you cheated to win. So in these sort of circumstances, it just, to me, it seems tainted. And I don't know, maybe it's just the old school view of it. I mean, imagine if Steve Austin would have beaten Shawn Michaels. And I'm trying to think of somebody else on the card back then. Oh, God, help me out. Wow. My memory's shot, dude. All right, just for the sake of argument, we'll just throw Hunter in there. Imagine if it was a triple threat with DX versus Austin. And, you know, Austin pins Michaels, but only after, you know, Triple H is in there, and or he pins Triple H. It doesn't resonate the same. At least to me, it doesn't. So,
well, he did pin Sheamus to win, so...
Yeah, I know. I was trying to cover up my awful example, so thank you for blowing up my spot.
Sorry. You're welcome. we don't disagree enough, right?
I said, did you notice how I was like, well, Triple H? And I was like, imagine if he pinned Shawn Michaels, and I immediately changed it to Triple H, because it was the exact same point that that's actually what happened. So, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
No, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want.
Yeah, making it the elimination style is fine, but, yeah, it's hard to get invested, you know, because, I mean, even if they had cut it down to four people or something like that, you can at least get invested in the people a little bit better. I guess Jericho was out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I like the way they sold it up and then apparently changed their mind until this coming Monday. So.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem is the fact that you can't just get invested in the match because you don't know who's going to stick around, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I enjoy the elimination way more than the, you know, four corners of death or whatever they want to call it, you know.
And what was the second point there aside from, and I guess this kind of goes along with the whole not caring thing, is that because a lot of those guys, like they beat up Wade Barrett, tossed him outside the ring, they beat up another guy, tossed him outside the ring, ran the one guy into ring post, he's sitting outside taking his edge coffee break. You know, and that's part of the, that's one of the reasons why it's hard to invest in somebody is that half the time they're not in the ring. You know, it doesn't matter who the guy is, but they've got to toss somebody out there at some point.
Right.
So that it's not a complete fucking mess inside the ring.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why I like the Elimination Chamber. I actually dig that match because you get guys in there and you're just hurriedly trying to get rid of people. And every once in a while you end up with like four at the same time fighting, and if someone gets pinned, you know, it gets to that sort of thing. I mean, and the whole tagging people in sort of thing is goofy, too. I mean, if you're in control, why the hell would you ever tag out? I mean, I guess in elimination it doesn't matter, but I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't matter as much in an elimination.
I'd try and
save myself, honestly, but you really should in the other type of match also.
Right. Yeah. But, no, I mean, there's other stuff to talk about with Raw, but I think we've been chirping for a while. So,
yeah, I think it's
cut
right.
Bad boy. Yeah, we'll cut it out the news so you can go watch Miami beat Pittsburgh, which upsets me because I don't want Miami to win. So,
this thing's been, as JR might say, this has been bowling shoe ugly right now so far.
Oh, is it? I don't even see. I walked away from the TV to try and concentrate. So,
yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Lisa's home. Oh, good. Yeah, I definitely got to get out of here now. So, all right.
Okie dokie.
So, everyone, thanks for listening. Check out. Wait, do we have a Twitter? Oh, yeah, we have a Twitter account. It's Stunt Granny. So, it's just one word, all lowercase. I don't even know if that matters if you're looking for us. You can check us out on there. We put snarky comments up every once in a while. We have the website, which you know about because it's already there. What else do we have? We have something else, don't we? Oh, yeah, we have our forum that gets some traffic, but it kind of died after a week. But we try to keep it going. So you can visit us. It's linked off the main page, and it's free, which is always nice in this day and age of a trying economy. So you know the recession ended last year, in case you didn't hear. So I'm going to get out of here.
Okie dokie. I am going to go have a sippy time beer and try to watch this game. So, you kids out there, I bought myself a Maui Brewing Company t-shirt, so I'm going to pimp them, and I'm out of here, grandkids.